On behalf of Snowflake and Carahsoft, we would like to welcome you to today's podcast, focused around Nebraska's DHHS Data Nexus, Modernizing Data Management in State Government, where you will hear from data experts at Snowflake and Nebraska's Department of Health and Human Services share how they came together to modernize the data management strategy.
My name is Adrienne Greenberg. I'm an account executive at Snowflake, specifically on our state and local government team. I'm super excited for our conversation today about Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Data Nexus Project and how they're leveraging Snowflake to mature their organization's data culture. Just in case folks haven't heard of Snowflake before, our goal is to give government organizations the capabilities they need to improve mission impact. So we support data-driven government by giving real-time access to data. So we're enabling leadership to measure program performance. We're reducing time to insight for your data analysts. We're eliminating the need for manual intervention, which your DBAs typically spend a huge amount of time on. Snowflake enables this frictionless reporting and data sharing between departments and between divisions, or even outside of your department, to create a holistic understanding of resident services, all while reducing risk with our secure near zero maintenance data cloud. And I think a great example of all the benefits that folks see is the work that we're partnering with Brian Beswick on it in Nebraska DHHS. So he's on the team leading a super transformative data program that we're going to spend a lot of time talking about today called Data Nexus. Brian, I'll let you fully introduce yourself. If you wouldn't mind telling us a bit about your role and just a general understanding of DHHS, that would be great.
Sure. Hi, so I'm Brian Beswick. I'm the data manager for Nebraska's Department of Health and Human Services within our Information Systems and Technology Division. DHHS is comprised of seven divisions, behavioral health, developmental disabilities, public health, child and family services, and Medicaid and long-term care, as well as finance. And then we have our IS&T, which is our IT functionality. We're about a 5,000 to 6,000 employee organization, so we're fairly large. And with that, I'll start talking about some of our challenges that we have as a state agency. So one of our biggest challenges as a state agency is because we're so large, we literally just have data assets everywhere. They're very siloed. They serve targeted needs, targeted operational needs, and that's great for the business. But it does create some challenges when you get into reporting and analytics, and how do you manage all that data across all those silos? How do you integrate it together? How do you govern it? How do you minimize duplication? when you're talking about hundreds of data assets, those are all challenges that we're working with. We also have a challenge around self-service. We're dealing with a lot of legacy technologies here. Things that self-service wasn't really one of the top priorities when these things were built. It wasn't even necessarily a capability back when some of our older systems were built. We have a lot of mainframe systems. Reporting and analytics really didn't exist back when a lot of mainframes came into existence. So, everything was designed with the concept of IT would be supporting and creating reports and analytics in the future. And that's something where our organization has really outpaced our capability to supply that. I think a lot of organizations are looking at self-service and how do you really enable the business to be able to do their own reporting and analytics so that you're not creating a bottleneck and barrier to delivering that capability. And we're also very heavily on-premise. Cloud technology is new to us. That's one of those things where we struggle with the fact that we have lots of on-premise infrastructure that doesn't easily scale. If we have, we're trying to set up self-service capabilities, well, that requires a lot of resources behind it. You're putting a 5,000 to 6,000 employee organization and giving them all the ability to develop their own reports and analytics. You got to have a lot of infrastructure capacity behind that. And on-premise kind of constricts that. It's not a simple process of just spinning up new servers. There's a long delay in that. And so trying to move to newer modern technologies such as the cloud is one of the ways we're looking to solve that. So
yeah, and you know, I hear self-service as one of the number one things that people come to talk to me about is I want to enable more self-service. For you, does that mean giving everybody access to all the data? How do you think about, you know, putting some parameters on self-service?
Yeah, and so the hard answer is no, not everybody gets access. You know, we're a state agency. We have lots of policies and regulations, you know, whether they're state regulations, federal regulations, you know, there's all sorts of policies that govern our data and who can access it, how it can be used, whether or not it can be shared. And that's one of those things where, you know, we need data governance on that, because it's not just as simple as saying, you know, I can't just say, yeah, give 5,000, 6,000 employees access to the data. That's just not an option. And even if, you know, even when we have data that, you know, there's a legitimate need to access and do reporting and analytics on, you know, it's how do you give access to the people who need it? There's a whole security structure workflow around that data governance of saying, okay, you know, here's the data we have. These are the policies that govern it. These are the appropriate business uses for you can access this data. This is the, you know, appropriate cases for when you can share that data and how it can be shared. You know, that's a whole complex workflow and governance structure that we have in place. And it starts with, you know, one of the things that we do is we have a data catalog so that you can actually look up, hey, here's the data assets that we have. Here's who owns them. Here's the policies that apply to them. And here's how you can utilize them.
Yeah, I think that everybody wants the idea of self-service, but then once you start thinking about the infrastructure you need in place, you realize there's a lot of process, policy, and technology that needs to also support that.
Yeah, and it really goes to there's a whole rabbit hole with that. You know, we take it beyond just data governance and how we govern our data. It goes to content governance too, when you're talking about reports and analytics. You know, if we have everything from if we have fields that we've classified as sensitive or, you know, secure, things like that, you know, we don't necessarily want those being exported into, you know, forms that we can't control and keep in-house. You know, if it's stuff that's got to be shared and there's a legitimate purpose for sharing it, we may want certain watermarks on it that say that it's confidential data, even though it's data that can be shared. There's still content governance around that. And then you get into the whole thing of how do we brand our data as DHHS, and, you know, whenever it's going, even if it's going internally, how do we brand it?
Yeah. That's actually one thing that you mentioned was kind of people's skill set or needs outpacing the technology infrastructure. So do you find more business units are coming to you and saying like, hey, I want better access to data for analytics? Or are you pushing them to think more about data analytics?
It's really driven by our business. You know, there are business needs where they need to be able to do reporting and analytics and really be able to combine data that historically has been in those silos and not integrated together. It really goes back to an organizational strategy we have that's driven by the business need and comes all the way from our CEO to our CIO and our chief data strategist saying, you know, we recognize there are business needs here and we need to solve these challenges and say, how do we actually, you know, what is our strategy moving forward to integrate this data together, make it more accessible to the business, make sure that we're not creating challenges for the business to actually do their jobs and be able to flex and get the data they need.
Yeah, because I think, you know, we talk about whatever crazy percentage of data warehousing projects that fail, right? Yeah. And I think a lot of it is because we lead with technology and not what's the business reason behind it. So I know, you know, when I initially started talking with Lori, the CIO and team, it was very much, what is the business problem that we're trying to solve with Snowflake? It was very much in the context of contact tracing and COVID-19 testing data. But, you know, that's where you start to drive adoption, right? When there's a business need and then you're making the technology fit the business need as opposed to the other, which tends to be where projects
exactly. And unfortunately, the pandemic has really brought to light those needs. I mean, when you're dealing with a global pandemic, something we haven't dealt with before, it really shows where the bottlenecks and the challenges are. And that's something we're really trying to address.
Yeah. And on that note, tell me a little bit more about that when you were looking at those bottlenecks with the silos of data. Let's talk about like testing data in particular, lab result data. What did you start to uncover?
So, you know, we have everything is very siloed. You know, our lab testing data is in one place, our contact tracings in another, immunizations in another place. And we really needed to be able to, you know, combine those, even just those data sets. And, you know, that's three out of, you know, hundreds there are in the public health realm. But those were three very key ones. That's actually what we started with this whole Data Nexus project, because obviously we're in a pandemic. Those are critical pipelines for us. And it was one of those things where these were siloed data assets that weren't integrated together. And we needed to create an actual system that would bring those all together, create the integrations, allow us to do reporting analytics, and really empower our epidemiologists to, you know, analyze this in an effective way.
Let's talk about modern data management strategy.
And so, you know, it starts with cloud native infrastructure, right? So, and platforms. We need the ability to scale and address, you know, the business needs as they arise. And being on premise with legacy technologies just kind of wasn't meeting that need, particularly the scalability one. You know, it's great if you have servers in reserve that you can just, you know, call up the resources for, but that's rarely the case. Mm-hmm. Usually your on-premise infrastructure has been sized for specific uses, which means that particularly when you're talking about self-service, you know, you could be talking about 1 month, maybe you have a handful of users doing it. The next month you might have thousands, you know, so self-service has a tendency to take off, right? And so you have to be able to flex and adjust with that. If you're talking on-premise, you know, well, then you're building towards what is that peak, right? And you're always building towards that peak. You don't have the ability to really flex with what your actual consumption is. Versus once you get into cloud native infrastructure, you know, infrastructure as a service, you do start to get that capability to say, well, you know, here's our consumption rate and flex the infrastructure with our consumption rate, as opposed to having to constantly be building for those peak times. And it's an important thing, because if you aren't addressing those peak times, you get yourself into this spiral of, you know, people start to think the system lags or it's not, you know, performant. And because of that, they go and look for other solutions. So then you're creating these other duplications of stuff all over the organization, simply because at a peak point, you weren't able to fill the capacity. And so cloud native infrastructure and platforms is one of our key components. And that really drives into the self-service business capabilities. You know, with that cloud native capability, we can actually flex and address those peak consumption hours, as well as, you know, when we're at low levels. You know, there tends to be, at least in our organization, you tend to get a peak beginning of the day because everybody's coming in the office, hitting the reports, or, you know, we've got a hybrid workforce right now, mostly remote. You know, people get up, they get on their computer, they're hitting their reports. You're going to see peaks right about then, and then it'll start to die down. And then you tend to get another smaller peak around lunch and so forth. So, but that self-service business capability, we really are striving to enable that, so that we're taking IT out of it, because we're still very much a part of it, but we're not the bottleneck, right? If we're giving you the capability to access the data you need, when you need it, at the speed you need it, and then go and do what you need to do with it, obviously within the guidelines of our data governance and our content governance. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're striving for as a goal. And again, that goes back to govern data and content. You know, we want to make sure that we're creating a culture of compliance, because if we make compliance easy, then, you know, we're at less risk of not being in compliance. And that's an important thing, I think, with all of this, because if you're going to create a self-service environment and capability, you do want to make the compliance aspect of that second nature. You don't want to make it complicated, because if it's complicated, then you're putting yourself at risk of not being in compliance. You know, it's human behavior, right? You know, path of least resistance. So that's really a driving factor for us, is making sure that it's the compliance part of it isn't complicated, yes, that it's easy, and so that it self-governs essentially. Mm-hmm. And then that goes into some of our larger stuff. So event-driven pipelines. So we talked about, you know, speed of data, right? I think long gone are the days of batch processing and, oh, I'm going to wait, you know, a whole day to get a report, or I'm going to wait, you know, so many hours for a report. You know, especially with the pandemic and dealing with COVID data, you know, we are driving towards a goal of, as soon as a lab reports a positive test, that just immediately flows through all our architecture, goes to the contact tracing, and then goes into the reports. And we can immediately start addressing that spread from a resource standpoint, as opposed to, you know, waiting an hour or a day to find out that there was X number of positive tests and do the contact tracing. That's, you know, when you're talking about the pandemic, I think it's really brought to light, you know, in the past, maybe it was more of a, you know, things were time and money. Now there's a human factor to that. It's not just time and money anymore. There's a human cost when it comes to the pandemic. So we're really driving towards, you know, as soon as something happens, it flows through all our architecture and we immediately have knowledge of it and insights about it, so we can address it and send resources to it. Mm-hmm. And that really goes back to this last one of reusable architecture, because if you want to achieve that, you don't want to be rebuilding the wheel every single time that we're doing something. So for instance, we have lots of external data providers that, you know, that give us data on lab results or contact tracing and stuff. Every time we have an external data pipeline, we don't want to have to build that pipeline entirely. We want to have components that we've already built and reuse them, and then just do the extra part that specifies what that particular pipeline is. So, you know, already having architecture around connecting to this particular external data provider, and now we're maybe doing, okay, now we're connecting to the contact tracing, now we're connecting to the immunization data and so forth, but we're still reusing those components. And that goes, you know, beyond just the data nexus, because we're creating that reusable architecture. Now our applications can use those architecture pieces too to connect to that data, and we have a much more robust architecture.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting you mentioned the performance piece, and then people start looking elsewhere for a solution, because there's so many times where I talk to, you know, IT professionals who say, you know, it needs to be faster, it's slow. And I'm like, well, why does it need to be faster? What's the impact of going slow? And when you sit down and think about it, it's, I don't want shadow IT. I don't want people doing their own thing over here, because I wasn't giving them what they needed to be able to scale at the times when they needed it, right? So
exactly. And that goes back to that whole problem of, we have all these data silos, right? If we aren't meeting that performance need, we're just compounding that problem, because we'll get more data silos, because people will go and build their own stuff. And not to mention, we won't know about it. Yeah. We won't have governance over it. And it will really compound our own problem by simply not meeting the performance expectation.
Yes. And so how do you think about collaborating with the business to, one, how do you think about collaborating it? And then how do you think about prioritizing it? Because I'm sure everyone thinks their problem is the absolute worst problem.
And so, I mean, there's a lot of ways you go about that. One of the things we do is we do 30, 60, 90 day plans, because there is that tactical need from the business. You know, when they come to us, it's not because they're thinking, you know, 2 years down the road, I'm going to need this. It's because they have a problem right now that they need to solve, and they want a technology solution to it. So we really try to approach them and give them a tactical option first, and then prioritize how we do the more formal strategic stuff. And in terms of the data nexus, again, there's multiple layers to data nexus. You know, there's your compute layer, there's your presentation layers, your business semantic layers, you know, all the buzzwords for data management. But it is one of those things where, you know, the first step might be just getting them, a report that's directly connected to an operational source. And then once we've enabled them to actually get that data and access that data, we'll go through the more formal route of, okay, how do we integrate that into the data nexus, make sure that it's going through the quality transformations, cleansing, things like that, and then redirect that report over to that more formal data nexus position.
And when you're, and I mean, that ties all back into the reusable architecture, right? Like you're going to be able to do that faster and faster every time one of those problems arises because you're simply reusing something that's proven, right?
Yep. Especially with our on-premise stuff, you know, we will create connections to on-premise and we'll reuse them for additional data silos because we're not normally talking about just a one-off database. I mean, in terms of the technology, you're probably talking about either an on-premise SQL Server or Oracle, or it's our DB2 or our mainframes. And we don't have one, we have hundreds of them. So by doing the work to say that we're going to build this reusable component that connects to this one, we can then say, okay, lift, plop, there it is. It's copied over to this one, this one, this one, this one. And then the pieces that we have to really, you know, do a little more customization is just what is the specific data we're trying to integrate in. And it's really that integration piece. The connections are there and the reusable architecture is there. And especially if we're, even if we delve into the specifics of the data, there's going to be certain pieces of data that are common amongst all of those. The integration for that is going to be essentially reusable from component to component. And it's just the uniqueness for that operational system of record that we have to deal with.
This is so great. How do you think about reusable and staying rigid for versus being flexible and like being a little bit more agile in changing and learning from what reusable might be?
Yeah, and so we take kind of a multi-pronged approach. So we have what we call system components, okay? And those are more technology-based. So if I'm connecting to an on-premise SQL Server, we have a type of component that we reuse for that, right? That is a fairly flexible component because it's the only real tie is the specific technology it's connecting to.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, we will have components that are specific to data areas. You know, maybe it's, again, public health data, it could be contact tracing. Those are going to be a little more strict in that they're looking at a specific segment of data. They're going to be doing specific integrations into our data nexus. And we just kind of, it's a composable architecture, right? As we go from system to system, okay, what components do we need? Well, if we're, again, we're connecting to another SQL Server on-premise, we need this component. It's got this data. So let's say it's citizen data, you know, stuff like address, phone numbers, things like that. We have a reusable component for taking that data and integrating that into our nexus in a governed way. Maybe we're adding on to that though. So, you know, maybe it's the immunization data related to that citizen. Okay, that might be a new component that we have to build because that's specific to that data.
And I think a great thing about government and why we do this is to share these sort of learnings, right? This isn't a competition about who has the best data management strategy, right? To drive revenue. This is much more about how do we make communities better, safer places for folks to live and prosper.
Exactly. And, you know, we realize what we're doing with our data nexus is probably not anything new. You know, we're not the leader in this space, but we are trying to make things better for our citizens. And that's part of what the sharing is to make sure that other people can look at it and say, okay, we see what Nebraska is doing. Maybe they want to do something a little different, but at least it gives them a template to work off of.
Yeah, because it can be really overwhelming. I mean, data governance, where does that list end of what data governance is, right? It never ends. Someone will come up with a new thing that I have to worry about. But that's where, you know, we just need to learn from each other. And it doesn't mean you're the best necessarily, but this is exactly what you said, a template for how to get it done and seem a little bit less overwhelming.
Yeah, and, you know, again, you have to kind of reassess as you go because there is constantly evolving technology. Mm-hmm. You know, there's AI is a big one right now, right? That's a big buzzword, but you know, you have to figure out how do you actually incorporate AI into your data management strategy and into your data pipelines and stuff. Automation is another one that, you know, we're constantly looking at how do we automate things? Because if we can automate things, especially on our data integration side, you know, that's a faster time to delivery. And that really helps eliminate those barriers and that delay that we as IT can sometimes be.
Yeah. And speaking of, we keep hinting at this data nexus thing. What is it?
Yeah, so
great.
The data nexus is really the strategic initiative, from our leadership to create a single stop data experience, to have that place for the business to go and be able to actually find the data they need. And there's multiple pieces that come into that, whether it's Snowflake for our warehouse or a data catalog or all the other, the pipelines that go into that. It's this overarching, okay, I'm going to go to the data nexus because I need this piece of data. I'm going to go find out where it is. How do I access it? What do I need to know about it in terms of policies and stuff? And really enable the business to then say, okay, I'm going to create a report or some analytics this is how I can share this data with the rest of the organization. That's really what the data nexus is.
Mm-hmm. And tell us what is composed of in the data nexus. And it might begin with an S.
Right. So, it starts with our integration of our data assets, right? Because we do have hundreds of data assets. That's a combination of multiple technologies. Sometimes we're using Azure Data Factory to do the integration. A lot of times we're trying to create API-led microservices, and that may be with things like MuleSoft or IBM. Sometimes it's customized code. Then it really goes into the storage piece. So we are using Snowflake with Azure Blob Storage underlying it. That is the kind of the place where we're really doing the full integration and bringing data together from those disparate systems and then doing kind of a business semantic layer to make it, accessible to the business, because when you're in data, that how things are stored in the underlying layer is never really business friendly. And you do have to have that business friendly layer to make sure that, you don't want an epidemiologist coming and trying to have to decode your mainframe column name just to access, a piece of data they need. And then we have on top of that, our presentation layer, which is primarily composed of Tableau as well as Tableau CRM.
Mm-hmm. You got a whole host of cloud technologies in there. How long have you guys been working on implementing all this?
A little while now. Like I said, it's a strategic initiative. It's something, and it'll be, ongoing, right? So I hate to say there's no end to it, but, hopefully we get to a point where we can call it complete. It's typical data management and enterprise business intelligence. Every time we create a new capability that provides insight to the business, that kind of drives them to say, and see the possibility and start to think, well, what if we could do this? And then that comes back to us and they want to know, hey, can you give us this capability? Can you create this for us? That is kind of the whole, crux of data management and enterprise BI is it is that cyclical life cycle.
Mm-hmm. And when you were thinking about what technology kind of stack you were working with, tell us a little bit more about what your requirements were, why you felt like Snowflake fit those. Would just be curious.
Yeah. So first and foremost, from a strategy standpoint, we wanted to go cloud first. And this goes back to that whole being able to scale our infrastructure and flex with our consumption needs. And that's one of the primary reasons that we were looking at Snowflake. Snowflake delivers that capability to really say, regardless of what our consumption need is, we can meet that capacity need. And we can scale if we need to, we're bringing on division after division after division. That's not a small task. And so, in the old days of on-premise technology, we'd be talking about, multiple servers and trying to stand up the infrastructure for that. With Snowflake, we just say, okay, scale it. it'll handle it. It's good. We don't need to worry about that. And it goes beyond that. That's just the first step. But when you're dealing with the self-service capabilities, again, we aren't necessarily controlling every single thing that's developed there because it's a self-service capability, you know, and we want to make sure that when those individual data analysts are going in and doing analytics or reports, that they're not going to experience any type of performance degradation that's going to make them think, oh, well, the system doesn't work. We want them to believe that, yes, the system does work. And that's why, you know, that's driving the adoption of it. So, you know, Snowflake and its capability to provide the compute resources we need really is part of why we said, yeah, we want to go with Snowflake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I, so often I hear people think about something like this from a change management perspective and think, oh, a new tool, like a whole new stack, no one's going to ever adopt it or use it. But I think to your point, if you give them the performance that first time that they're using it, I think that's where eyes really start to open in terms of, wow, this didn't take 5 minutes to run a report. It took 5 seconds to run a report. There's a great story. I was talking to one of my partners up in Seattle area, and they said, well, normally I would open Tableau and I'd go make my coffee and I'd come back and then my dashboard would be loaded. I did it with Snowflake and now I can't go get coffee. They couldn't even get up. So, I mean, it just goes to show you really want that like delightful experience the first time they use it. So they keep coming back, but also meeting them where they're at, right? In your organization, you have folks that use Tableau. There's folks that use Excel everywhere. We know that that's the standard analyst tool. And one day maybe that'll change, but probably not. And we want to make sure, you know, whatever tool you want to use is fine. You actually won't even know that you're hooking into Snowflake on the back end because all you're seeing is your reports run really well. You're getting the data populated that's real time in your Excel spreadsheet or wherever you're using it. So that's another thing that I think we had talked about in terms of, you know, how do
people are happy. To that point, we do internally brand it like, you know, our users don't necessarily know that we're using Snowflake. It's, you know, it's branded as DHHS Data Nexus. You know, but even when you're doing internal branding like that, it's very important to us, you know, that performance aspect. You know, because if you don't meet that performance expectation of your end consumers, it will drive them to go back to the old hallmarks of, well, I'm just going to download the data into Excel. I'm going to do it in Excel. And then you get into those scenarios where it's not governed, you know, and it's creating other assets. Excel files are my nightmare because they can be everywhere and I might not have any knowledge of them.
Oh, so. They're sitting on somebody's desktop back there.
Exactly.
No idea. And you know, when I always call it Excel hell, like when you're emailing Excel files back and forth, you know, data can tell you anything it wants, right? So at least we can start from the aspect of the same data as opposed
exactly.
to data. So what's next? I mean, we talk about crazy stuff like ML and AI and servicing citizens' needs through automation. Is that it? Are you got bots next? What's going on?
Yes. I mean, so, you know, there's multiple aspects, right? I mean, obviously we are in this process, right? And this is a whole journey, you know, getting all seven of our divisions onto the data nexus integrated together. You know, that's just the first step from a data perspective and getting it integrated. You know, you've got the added complication of, you know, we have our existing data providers that are external, but I can guarantee you that's not going to be the only set. I mean, every year you could have a new external data provider. You know, there's local county health departments that we're integrating with. There's all sorts of places, you know, even just feds. There's federal data that we're constantly integrating into our system. You know, it is that almost never ending process. There's always going to be a new system that has data that's valuable to us that we want to bring into the nexus. You know, and it goes beyond that, because as we start to deliver that self-service capability and the business gets used to being able to, you know, develop insights and understand their data better, that's going to drive more. It's not going to stop with, oh, I've got my insights and I know my data and I'm done. It's going to be like, they're going to think about the possibilities. Well, what if we did this? What if we integrated with this piece of data? You know, what if, you know, what if child and family services integrated with the public health data and started to see where there might be correlations between the two. You know, as we create these integrations and these self-service capabilities, it's going to drive more, you know, business questions and more analytics. Again, that's the whole BI cycle of more, right? And when we get into automation, you know, automation is one of those things where even if we were to automate everything that we have now, well, each time you bring on a new system, you want to have automation with that system too. So there's, you got to develop that automation. And then we get in, then we get into the really futuristic stuff of AI, you know, we have this thing called a data catalog that we're looking to create, that searchable data assets. That doesn't have to be just searchable data assets. There's a component of that where we would like to eventually get to a point where when we add a new data asset to that catalog, that it actually kicks off automation and the AI looks at it and says, okay, this particular asset is similar to these other assets. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to build similar integrations to that to kind of make that pipeline somewhat automated in its creation, because that's faster time to delivery. That's less, you know, resources we need to go and do implementation on. And then we can pick up where the AI leaves off. Now, you know, that's kind of getting into that super futuristic stuff, but it is what we're trying to drive towards, things like that, and make sure that we are fully taking advantage of modern technology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to have the vision.
Yeah.
So you know how to, the journey is pointing you in the right direction to that vision.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information on how Carahsoft or Snowflake can assist you, please visit www.carahsoft.com/snowflake or email us at snowflake@carahsoft.com. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.